Hello, everyone, and welcome back to an episode of the Calicom Blogcast. My name is Matthew. On tonight's episode, we're... What the hell, guy? Wait, I haven't started my fucking podcast. Why are you playing me out already? Hey, turn that fucking shit off. Turn that shit off right fucking now. Fucking Christ, really? You're gonna play me off after literally 30 seconds of my podcast? Oh, fuck. What the fuck am I, Sam Lake?
Oh, man.
So on tonight's episode, we're going to recap everything from the Game Awards. We'll go over all the winners and losers. We'll talk about some of the stuff we saw in terms of trailers and other games that are coming out. And then we'll talk about the overall impressions of this show and where this may go when we get to the 20th anniversary, which is next year. And to do all that, I have Jericho.
I come straight from the North Pole, bitch.
Nate?
Y'all enjoyed that Jeff Keighley jerk-off two-hour segment, right?
More like 3.5, really. And finally, Ryan.
Is Kojima still fucking with us 20 years later? I swear to God, Kojima's still fucking with us 20 years later.
We'll get to that when we talk about the game, quote-unquote, that Hideo Kojima revealed at the game. So let's start at the top of the show, and we'll talk about the pre-show, because they had a whole bunch of stuff, and I tuned in right at 4:30, and the first thing they announced is, hey, here's the best family, your winner is Mario Wonder.
Super Mario Wonder,
yes.
That's not a surprise, come on. I mean, everybody loves the Mario games, and it was a perfect setting for a family game and all.
Not everyone. Just kidding. There are some, though.
There are some. Unless you want party animals.
Oh, hey. I think it's about time we get Nate off the stage. You know, we're just going to close him out real quick. Wow. Wrap it up.
I have my case here. Okay, I have my case here that I...
Nate, you are the reason why we have Lego Fortnite, okay? So shut the fuck up.
And we haven't even got to that. Give it a second.
That's not my problem. That was not my problem. That is not my problem. That is Fortnite pretty much being creative there, okay?
Look, you put that out there like I put out that sometime next year we're going to get the Super Series, okay? All right, Nate.
Please. Sure.
Oh, brother.
So next up after that, we got our innovation accessibility, and your winner is Forza Motorsport.
I'm rather shocked, but then again, it was my second pick. I feel like Street Fighter had it in the bag, and for whatever reason, like, outside of the obvious reasons that Forza did win it for, like, I'm not disagreeing with the award. I still think Street Fighter should have had a fairer chance, but they're both pretty accessible games this year. I'm not going to lie.
And then we blew through all of the esports categories. So esports athlete was Faker.
No surprise there for Faker.
Esports coach was Potter. Esports event, of course, because of Faker, was League of Legends World Championships. Esports game was Valorant.
I told you.
And an esports team was JD Gaming.
Yeah, I have no idea who JD Gaming is.
I have no idea either. At this point, because Ryan and I took notes for this show, so there was a couple trailers before we get to the first one that we all care about. So can you go over those, Ryan, really quick? The one where I didn't write in here, and I shut off. There's a game now that's coming out that is based around like someone being deaf, and it's like literally the first video game ever to cater to deaf people.
Harmonium is that one.
Yeah, that was very interesting. So I'm like, wait, is this character doing sign language in a video game? I'm like, oh, shit, okay.
Nice.
I mean, by the looks of things, though, I mean, given if you're even just like a standard like person who isn't deaf or someone who is deaf, I think this game not only accessibility-wise will be like to cater to them, but I think regardless, the story looks really good. I think it's going to be one that's going to be accessible to all players, and I think I'm going to give this one a try when it does come out.
Oh. You know what's crazy? This says that this I'm reading the whole synopsis of this Harmonium game. It says this game follows Melody Mikoto, an energetic 10-year-old Filipina American musician, became deaf as a young age. Oh, okay. I love the fact it's a Filipina.
She's fucking deaf, huh? as a Fil- oh, as a deaf Filipina. That's Filipino. Fucking wonderful.
Yeah.
Why she gotta be fucking deaf
for? All right, well, you got my... you... Wait, what?
Matt, what she gotta be fucking deaf for?
What the Matt, come on.
What's wrong with that? Come on.
I don't know. Certain parts of the internet, being Filipino is considered a disability.
Bruh.
And that's the end of our show, folks. Give us a call. Give us another listen next week when we come back.
We're like, Filipinos are here.
We just lost a couple of deaf Filipinos folks. I'm mentioned. Sorry to those who are those who are disabled. I'm sorry. Listen in to this.
Shut the fuck.
It wasn't me.
Two of you, get the fuck out of here. That's it. End the
show,
guys.
Oh, shit.
Wow, you two are the worst. Matt and Jericho has like went down a fall here. I don't know what's going on. Ooh, both of you.
Okay. Besides the point, it's great that, you know, Filipino representation in video games is finally coming around. Outside of playing Manny Pacquiao in a boxing game in the early 2000s or late 2000s.
He was the only representative of who Filipinos are, okay?
Wow, discount Tekken 7, guys, Jesus.
Wow, why are you dissing? Okay, why are you dissing Pacquiao's discounted? Wow, why are you discounting Manny
Pacquiao? Shit, I forgot about Josie. Fuck, I'm on the Tekken 8 already.
Okay, Josie makes a return. Jesus Christ, guys.
I hope they fucking redesigned Josie.
It'd be cool if she.
Well,
yeah.
If the leaks are true, at least she's not in the season one DLC. So, we'll probably talk about that when we get to the actual Tekken 8 release. But no, again, this game looks very interesting. Ryan will give it a shot. I might give it a shot. But the first trailer that really caught my eye after the whole Samsung commercial was. Hey, is that Persona 3 Reload? Oh, ooh.
Ayo. Okay,
hold on, let me tune in. All right. Oh, we got social links. We get to see them for the first time in a trailer. Where the fuck is Chihiro? Where the fuck is my second best girl outside Mitsuru? Where are you?
Don't worry about it.
Did we get
shut
a glimpse
the fuck
of her,
up, Jericho. You shut the fuck up, dude.
You know, your attention to a student council president and all that jazz. God damn that! Like,
I was saying, like, I thought the trailer we actually did get a glimpse of her, like for like a second or two.
Well, I'll post it on our show notes. There's a Japanese version of the Game War trailer that came out, and it does show her. She's not speaking because in this shot, it's Mitsuru, Yu, Makoto, Hidetoshi. The student council vice president, and then Chihiro. So you get to see a little bit of her in the Japanese one, but the second half, you know, the fact that you get to see a lot more of Tartarus, you get to see a lot more of, like, the fluidity of this game. It's so fucking beautiful. We actually got this... Oh, dude, no, the fact that we got our first glimpse of the first major Striga fight on the Moonlight Bridge. Ooh!
Oh, I'm about the nut.
I was really trying to keep my composure at work, trying not to like freak out when like I saw the trailer, but like my god, man, what we saw out of that trailer was so good. I am still so hyped for this game.
Oh, it looks so fucking good. So yeah, of course, Persona 3 Reload is coming out February 2nd of 2024. One of the few dates that we know for some of these games that we're gonna be talking about. Next up after that, the next award goes to Best Content Creator, and that went to, obviously, Iron Mouse.
Hey, yeah, Mousy! Yeah, Mousy! that's no surprise compared to the rest of the competitors. I mean, everybody loves Iron Mouse, so I would imagine a lot of people voted for her for the Game Awards.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, she gave an acceptance speech. And it's a really good one. If you haven't seen it, I would definitely look at it.
Sorry to cut you there, but if you actually caught her stream during the Game Awards, like you can tell, like once they showed her like a congratulatory message, that shit was phoned in. She legitimately didn't think she'd win.
Wow.
Oh wow. Wow.
That's very interesting because I think a lot of us had. Phoned her in, and then she thought it was the opposite. Like, she's phoned in to not win. That's very interesting. But no, congratulations to Iron Mouse. You definitely deserve it. You've done a lot for streaming. You've done a lot for charity, especially with you and C-Dog VA. Just fantastic work. And then finally, the last trailer that I wrote down before we get to the major show was Metaphor ReFantasio. We got a second look at it. And if fucking Rilo didn't get me the nut.
I feel it's P5. It's like the same. It is the same thing behind like Catherine and Persona. But like, dear God, it is. There are so many elements they pulled from Royal that you can tell like this team is putting so much effort into this game. I cannot be any more excited for after that trailer. That how much like not only the voice acting, but the story and everything that we have to look forward to. Even the battle segments. Oh my God. Atlas is going to be fire this year.
A combination of turn-based and real-time strategy?
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
So Atlas is cooking, but it's coming out next fall, so that's going to be a wait. Then again, we're just going to play Persona 3 throughout the time, so.
Yeah, so officially, according to the trailer, it's coming out fall 2024. And we're going to start a theme of that's all we really know. Now we finally get to the actual real show, which started at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So you had about a half hour for the pre-show, and now we get to the real thing. Jeff Keighley goes up.
Real quick, did we cover that Valorant usurped all the other esports titles?
Yeah, we talked about that. The fact that Valorant won. And you know what? Now that I think about it, Valorant's an okay pick. I just wanted League of Legends just because it makes sense for Faker to win and then League to win best esports event. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it's just natural for it to win esports game. But Valorant, I'm actually okay with it.
I'm just tired of seeing League win every year. It's kind of getting a little repetitive, if I may say.
I'm not gonna lie. Like all five of them, it could have gone to any one of them just because they have a huge community and everybody plays these games to like. I don't know. Some of them are faithful to the games that they play this a lot, that they could be competitive with it. And, they always get these events that make it really exciting to watch. Like League, like Worlds for League and Valorant Finals and all these other games, So, props up to Riot Games and Valorant. It turned out to do pretty well for them.
So we get to the main show and the first person to go up is Christopher Judge. He's going to present Best Performance. And he hams it up for the crowd, and then he starts to speak, and then, seconds later, they start playing the Wrap It Up. It's all for last, because last year, Christopher Judge, he had an 8-minute speech for his win as Kratos from God of War. It was all, fun. And then, somewhere in there, he has a line about how his speech was longer than the most recent Call of Duty campaign.
It is such a pleasure to be back here. I have such great memories of last year, Mr. Pacino, forgetting to thank my wife. Mother. All right. I get it. I'm not gonna stand up here making long speeches. I'm going to stick to the script. No 8-minute speech like last year. But fun fact, my speech was actually longer than this year's Call of Duty campaign. What? another company I'll never work for.
And as we record today, there are some salty motherfuckers over at the COD camp. And
Call of Duty whiners.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, because the way I thought about it was, okay, when you get to the beginning of these award shows, whether it's the Grammys or the Emmys or the Oscars, the host or in this case, Christopher Judge, because I don't think Jeff Keighley doesn't have that chops to crack like that. They crack on each other. I mean, the classic example is the ESPYs. You're like Norm MacDonald, you know, back when he was alive, God rest his soul, like he was cracking hard on the athletes during those, during his, like, his monologues.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, Manny. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off, counsel. Just a word of advice.
But for the COD devs to come out and say, well, our game destroys your game in metrics. I'm like, really? You're going to go that far? And there's a big quote here. It's like, honestly, as COD developers, but we don't expect it from a peer at an event that is supposed to celebrating. That's supposed to be celebrating this year's achievements in gaming, especially with all the information that was leaked about its development. Well, that's not my fucking problem, COD. If you're worried about leaks about development, then don't fucking come out with a game that's half-ass.
Pretty much.
I feel like Peter Parker here. I forget the part where that's my problem.
I missed the part where that's my problem.
I don't know. I just feel like the COD community sometimes can get a little bit, well, on the toxic side.
Hey, yo, fuck Activision.
Yeah, I mean. True.
Yeah, I mean, fuck Activision.
Yeah, there's also a quote here. It's like, can't imagine short user engagement once your game is consumed. Really? That's your counter argument? That user engagement for God of War goes down compared to Call of Duty? What? Really? Oh, we'll talk about God of War Ragnarok in just a second. Actually, is it the... No, that is the
we're
second
not there yet. We're not there yet.
So once then, he goes to the nominees, Professor Performance, and your winner is Neil Newbord for Baldur's Gate 3. Uh-oh. Is the Baldur's Gate 3 snipe starting now?
And this is where it begins.
More like, no. Hold on. And here we go.
And here we go.
All right, Joker.
I think the first thing you notice is Neil Newbord goes up and starts talking. And then about 30 seconds later, they start to play him out. And you're like, wait, what? 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 Oh, no. So there was a kind of like a leaked document that came out after the show. And there's a section on it about acceptance speeches. And it says here, should you win the award, you will go from your seat in the audience up to the steps, up to the front of the stage to accept the award. You will have 30 seconds allotted to your acceptance speech. You will see a large countdown clock in the audience section of the teleprompter to help you guide for timing. We don't want to cut anyone off. We appreciate you being respectful of our time allocation and your fellow acceptors.
The thing here is the onstage translator stuff, because first off, the person will make a speech and then you got to translate, which I will assume be more than 30 seconds.
Kind of funny. I didn't actually see the translators on the actual podium this year. It's kind of weird compared to last year.
There was one with Eiji Aonuma.
But did he accept anything, or was that for
Legend of Zelda?
Okay.
I was more referring to like the deaf translators, like the ASL like translators.
Oh.
We didn't see that this year compared to last year.
That's true, actually.
That might be different, though. That's something we might have to, like, dig through later on.
There is something that is bugging me out a little bit. I know this is something we talked about on the last podcast, but I thought it was said in his stream when he was doing it, like, before the Game Awards, and now that it came to fruition, and now that we talked about it, I can't help but, like, not let this go, but did anyone else hear world premiere more than it should have?
It was more towards Jeff Keighley just saying world premiere. I didn't hear much when it says world premiere, but here's debut trailer, or here's a brand new trailer, or here's this a first look.
Every
you know those kind of terms.
A new trailer came out. Here's a world premiere.
I don't think you hear that too much though. I mean,
trust me. Trust
you
me.
Think so?
If me and anyone else in this pod listened to it good enough, like, or at least I believe me and Matt did.
I mean, I hear the world premiere part, but it's like not as much compared to like the other things that he introduced as well.
When you get the chance, sit down and watch the Game Awards again in full and see how many times, or count how many times he says world premiere.
It's a lot more than zero, that's for sure. Because my impression through him talking about it
I was going to say it's just a couple. Not like a lot, like the whole show where he was just saying that.
Ryan may be onto something where it's like it's more than half, but it's not exactly all of them. We'll talk about that towards the end when we get to like overall purposes of the show. Next up, we get Matthew McConaughey to go up to present a trailer. I'm like, wow, you got Matthew McConaughey. All right, to present a trailer for a game called Exodus. It's some space game. That's all I wrote down.
It's a game where it's on space travel. You know what may seem like 5 minutes for me is like an eternity for your loved one. It's like, it's going to be like this love, like sci-fi kind of like Mass Effect kind of esque like game.
I think it's supposed to hint on Interstellar.
I was about to say that it's Interstellar, the video game.
Well, I mean, at least something is a lot better than Call of Duty's current campaign. I mean, given the fact that, speaking of Chris Judge, his game actually got something for free, unlike what we get when we get fucked in the ass by Call of Duty all every fucking season.
Yep. So the next trailer was shown. It was for God of War Ragnarok. Wow. Yeah. For God of War Ragnarok, it's a DLC called Valhalla. And it's coming out, so by the time you hear this podcast, it will be out, and it's for free. Happy holidays, guys.
Wow.
Sony drew first blood.
Oh, then, Sony.
After that, we got a trailer for a game called Big Walk. It's from the makers of Untitled Goose Game. Apparently takes place in Australia. And this is where we start to get all we know is 2025. It's like, okay, we're getting the now GTA territory. It's like 2025, 2024. We'll get to some of those games in a moment, but.
You know, Matt, I want to say, like, as from like somewhat of a standpoint of observation, I think the reason why they don't want to give an exact date yet, or at least say 2024 at all, give it that extra space. Again, the whole dev crunch, but also they don't want to. I just think they're being way too precautious nowadays because they don't want to have a cyberpunk scenario again. So I think a lot of these studios are just saying 2025 and not give an extra, like, an actual date because they don't want to disappoint not only the fans but also disappoint stockholders, etc.
Or you just don't show it and you wait until it's ready. Mm-hmm.
Which is that option too, but then it also does give like hype for those that are really wanting to invest. Considering that Untitled Goose Game is a really good game, everybody loved to play that game. Now the fact that they're making a new game makes you think of like, hey, okay, you know what? They've got something coming up in their you know cookbook and making something quite interesting. For like the people who made
Untitled, I'm referring to Nate. Like all the games are all most of the trailers that we got.
I know. I'm going to talk about one specifically later on as we progress through the show here. But yeah, I mean that time frame of a year coming out, I mean it's just a vague one, but it gives the people more time to actually work out the kinks and make sure the game is good. So
it's instead of just having it cycle, that's how it usually is.
Mm-hmm. You know, my thing is that, you know, when you see trailers like, for example, Persona 3 Reload. If it comes out in March, it better be coming out in March, or else if it's a delay, then some hell could break loose from that.
I think this bigger skin in the game for Reload to come out exactly on February 2nd of next year, that's because it's being heavily marketed through Game Pass.
Yep. The fact that they actually have an Xbox logo literally through, like from the first scene to the last scene of the trailer, kind of tells you, like, hey, it's Xbox on PC, guys.
You know what's funny? Speaking of that, just on a side tangent, pay attention to when Atlus JP releases their Persona 3 reload trailers. Pay attention to when it first uploaded for just Xbox, and then like 2 days later, they re-release it, and they include PlayStation and Steam. So there's about a two-day lag period for the Japanese to say, yes, this game is on the Xbox and on Game Pass. And then 2 days later, it's like, yeah, it's on every other fucking major console, not named the Switch. So up next, we have what I call a commercial trailer, because you can't separate between what's a trailer from the show and then like a commercial segment, like, oh, hey, nicotine is bad for you, don't vape. Okay, great. Oh, hey, we have a new TV from Samsung. Okay, cool. So one of them was for Lego Fortnite. Nate, what have you done?
Hey, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong here. Lego Fortnite, if you're playing Minecraft, it's kind of like that right now in Fortnite.
Well, you have the build your own world kind of like side of it, or you can just do the survival element like you would do like the normal campaign or like the little like side events
Yesterday, me and a couple friends, we were playing, was it Lego Fortnite, and we were pretty much making a village, which actually turned out to be pretty fun considering how vast the world is. So you can like get wood, you can get like supplies, meat, things like that, and then you can get other villagers to come in as well, so it's pretty fun. So Fortnite's cooking up something pretty interesting considering like they have a lot of other things coming up this season.
Even things that we haven't mentioned that we're gonna mention here in a little bit, dear God, Nate, why do we have all this in Fortnite? Why? It doesn't need to exist.
I have no idea either. I thought when I first played Fortnite, it was just going to be just like a regular, you know, a PvP shooter, but there's more than that now in Fortnite. I did not expect.
Well, guys, I have to say something, but at the very least, now that we know that this is the current state of affairs, it's time to vote Nate out.
Wait, how? Just because I play the game? Hey, you play it too, Ryan. Shut up.
You did this.
You play it too.
All I have to say is, what the fuck is this tweet that I posted in our Discord?
Oh, man. Yeah, I saw that.
What the fuck?
What the fuck, dude? Boo, boo. What is wrong with you? What the fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck? This is literally the fucking first day of Lego Fortnite. We get this shit.
Tell that to that guy. Tell that to that guy who just like made that. I don't know why he did that. That was so stupid. At least we're being civil in our group, okay?
So at this rate, we get our first musical performance. I didn't write down who actually performed, because at this rate, it's like, oh, I got to use the bathroom. So cool, go use the bathroom. But it was a lead up to a trailer for Setsuna Saga Hellblade 2. And it was a new look at the game, which is Team Ninja, correct?
Yes, I was Team Ninja behind that.
And I wrote down 2024, but you said there's actually a release window for this game.
I do believe from what I remember. Never mind. I thought it said February, but I guess it's going to be, it's just 2024 in general.
Okay, so because I wrote down 2024, I think. Game looks good. We've been seeing a lot of Hellblade 2 over like, what, the last 2 or 3 years?
3 years.
3 years.
It's been at every Game Awards since.
We'll talk about a game that's been in every single Game Awards. It's hilarious how this game even got here. So after that, we get Ed Boon, the creator of Mortal Kombat 1. He goes up to present Best Narrative. And your winner is Alan Wake 2.
I mean, when you have a story deep and like kind of like thrilling as that, it does make sense why they got Best Narrative. At least somebody observed Baldur's Gate at some point.
Can't just be all Baldur's Gate, you know, but you know, hey, we just had one win so far.
I'm just mad that Cyberpunk didn't win this category.
I'm also mad.
And I'm also mad that Idris Elba didn't win for Phantom Liberty.
That was a surprise.
But then I said in our preview podcast that Neil Neilborn could also win that category. I mean, yeah. All five of them had a case to win. after that, we get a really cute Japanese girl. She goes up and she's really excited and she's wanted to show off a trailer for a game that she's creating even before she finds a publisher. And we get our first look at a game called Temuri. And it's more cinematic than gameplay-ish, but hey, I'll give her credit for showing something. I'm like, wow, this is very impressive for an indie studio that you built from the ground up.
For those not in the know who like Matt is referring to, it's Akumi Nakamura. She's actually been a representative of the Game Awards in the last couple years. At the time, she was at a major developer and studio, but then decided to go indie, I believe, last year. She's been on the stage a couple times. I mean, she's adorable as fuck. I mean, like, just the fact that we have her just kind of, like, trying her best either in English or in Japanese. So the fact of the matter is, it's just, it's good to see Nakamura-san back on the stage, back at the Game Awards this year.
Next up, we get a trailer from the Ori devs. It's a game called No Rest for the Wicked. Sure, I'll take a look at that when that game comes out. So I put this note down. So apparently the websites for the Steam Deck and Lenovo, whatever they call their deck, the pages for their contest are DDoSing. And this was as of 5:40 our time.
People really are interested in the game, in the project itself?
Well, yeah, because it's a 1 terabyte Steam Deck OLED. Yeah, you're definitely going to want to fucking play for that shit.
I mean, it's an OLED, it has 1 terabyte storage, it's actually a lot better, it does have a bit of some better specs than what we got in the normal LCD model. I mean, it's plenty of a reason why to try to win one. I mean, they also had the Lenovo Legion for up for grabs as well, for those who were either unable to get in for the Steam Deck, or just didn't really care about the Steam Deck, but want more of a Legion. There was that option for you as well. I mean, you could have won either or both, depending. But to those who entered, like me and Matt, good luck. And may the odds forever be in your favor.
Do we know when they announced the winners?
The 15th, from what I remember reading, for the rules.
Oh, so I thought it was literally like in real time. They did it last year when MILF Hunter won a Steam Deck.
They didn't do it in real time this time. Because that's the reason why they have the Gleam kind of like set up.
But you guys remember that from last year, right? When they announced that, hey, MILF Hunter won a Steam Deck, and like the name is real. There's a Steam user named MILF Hunter.
Oh my god.
After that, we get to like one of the set pieces of this show, and it involves the Muppets. Somehow Jeff Keighley loves bringing the Muppets back. So this year it was Gonzo, and it revolved around Gonzo not able to beat the chicken level from Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which, okay, was okay, yeah, and understandable. And then they kind of went on and on and on, and then at some point they pulled out a conspiracy theory board, like the pin board, and it went on and on and on. And I'm like, okay, where the fuck is this going? Okay. This is the problem I'm going to start having when it comes to these set pieces versus what a lot of time is for someone like Neil Newborn, or as we get to some of the later winners, their time to speak versus giving Gonzo time longer than that to do this piece about Chicken Mission from Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
At least we got something meaningful after the fact, though.
And then after that, we have Best Debut Indie Game. The winner is Cocoon. All right, guys, time for rapid fire trailer time. So this is where we get a whole bunch of trailers for new games or new stuff, in fact, because the first one was the highly anticipated What the Hell is Sega Doing for the Game Awards?
Sega!
They're cooking.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I could not contain myself at work. Literally, I was with a guest, and like by the time I saw one of the games hit the screen, I just could not contain myself. I was just flat out excited. I was giddy with joy. Like, I could not believe the games that we're going to be talking about here in a second. But go on, Matt.
Yeah, so they announced that they're bringing back Jet Set Radio, Shinobi, Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, Crazy Taxi, and more. Because there's rumors going out, and they were not answered here, but they could be answered pretty soon, of a new Virtua Fighter game. But that may come later because they say and more. And it's going to be over the next several years. So I'm like, oh, yeah, several.
So like Sega's really going on that remake train right here, because the fact that Jet Set Radio is going to be remade, I mean, everyone loved that game.
No, no, no. By the looks of that thing, that was not a remake. That is a solid remake? New game.
That is a solid new game. Ooh. And you know what? Okay, so let's flashback really quick. Does anyone remember when we got that leaked footage of Yukari from Persona and we thought, oh God, this is Reload? Well, in that leaked trailer was new Jet Set Radio. And we all thought, wait a minute, are they going to create a new Jet Set Radio? Well, look what happened. They're creating a new Jet Set Radio and they're redoing Persona 3. So that shit was real.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, so I'm going to make a very, very, very bold prediction for all these titles that we got from this trailer. All of these games will be available day one on Xbox Game Pass.
Wow.
I forget. I won't be surprised. I won't be surprised about that.
I forget. Microsoft, or at least Sega, is not one of Microsoft's acquisitions, right? Or acquiries?
No.
No way. No.
Not yet.
No.
I don't think there have been talks about it.
I hope not. But given the fact that Persona has been on Game Pass, Like a Dragon is all on Game Pass day one, I wouldn't be surprised if all of these new games show up on Game Pass. Next up after that, we got a new look at Dragon Ball. What's that called? Budokai Tenchi?
Budokai Tenkaichi, but...
Yeah, but it's not, yeah. But we're not calling that after anymore.
After a 20-year absence, we're back.
Yeah, it's back with a Sparking Zero. Very Japanese-ish naming title.
You know what, though? Everybody loved the whole Dragon Ball Z Budokai series, so if anything... I think it's just like it's pretty hype for a brand new DBZ fighter game. I'm pretty excited for it.
I mean, just what I saw out of the trailer, like people who are watching it, like in the store when we were like, while we were just like kind of either in downtime or they're just watching the Game Awards because they want to watch it. A couple of guests and I were like just freaking out because of how like, dude, the graphics were so good, but like the gameplay, the fights. All the characters from the original all the way up to Super they're all there. So this is going to be, if not like, not really like fighters territory, but it, like given the fact it's like playing in the style of Budokai Tenkaichi, it's actually going to be good to see a proper Dragon Ball fighting game, or at least that of that caliber, come back after so long.
Are you saying Dragon Ball Fighters wasn't good?
I did not say that. I absolutely did not say that. I play both. I grew up playing the Budokai series on the PlayStation. I played Fighters when it came out. I like both. But if you're gonna like, if you're gonna take my nostalgia away from me because of the fact I like Budokai, I'm sorry. I call me nostalgic, if you will.
So moving on, the next trailer we get is for a game called The Casting of Frank Stone. It's a game based in the Dead by Daylight universe, and I think it's single player or multiplayer. It's either one. I don't know.
I think it was announced that it was going to be a single-player game.
Oh, cool. All right.
Given it's Supermassive Games, though, they're known for their horror games and like their narrative-based games. This is kind of the place that I was going to play like. Given that what they did with The Quarry and, of course, with the Dark Picture games, I have reason to believe it's going to be multiplayer.
I think I remember this when I was watching the Game Awards. It's either Jeff Keighley or somebody else from the Supermassive Games team pretty much said that it's a new single player interactive game coming out in 2024 or something.
Either way, I mean, I'm not really a huge fan of the Dead by Daylight franchise. I mean, I've played the game a few times, not really my cup of tea, but I might give this game a shot because it is Supermassive Games. I mean, not to mention that theme that they played for this game, that being like a daylight, it gets you not only hooked into it more, but like it just gives you more of that dark. I swear to God, Supermassive just knows how to draw people in with not only their music, but just their narrative altogether. But that particular song drew me into this trailer even more.
Next up in our trailer bonanza, number one, we have Digis of Mana. So we're getting a new Mana game. 2024. Yay.
It's been a while since we've chatted up game for the
I was gonna say, it's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while for the new Mana franchise. I just remember Secrets of Mana.
The last one was the remake of Trials of Mana?
I think so.
I think so.
On PS4?
Honestly, I thought this was the FF9 remake that we talked about on the preview podcast.
I mean, I saw Square Enix and was like, oh god, like, okay, is this going to be Final Fantasy? And then I look into it, it's like, wait, now that I know this art style, wait, no, it's a new Mana game? And then next thing you know, I see the Visions of Mana like logo pop, I'm like, oh, I am stoked. I love the... If it's not, mm-hmm. I mean, if it's not Final Fantasy, if it's not Kingdom Hearts, I love the Mana franchise. But it looks good.
Okay, actually, to be fair,
it looks good.
Yeah, to be fair, when I first saw the trailer, I thought it was actually going to be another Dragon Quest game. But no, it wasn't, thankfully.
And then finally, the last of the trailer by Nanza number one is The Rise of Ronin. I believe this is Koei Tecmo? Or another Ninja yes. Theory.
Koei Tecmo, but it's also Team Ninja and Koei Tecmo. I kind of jokingly said this in the notes that it's going to be like a playstyle of like Ghost of Tsushima, so it's a ghost of Team Ninja.
Exclusive for PS5.
Yeah, and it's coming out on May 22nd, 5/22 of 24. So
no. March, huh? March 22nd, 2024.
March, okay.
March?
March, January, February, yeah. March. Okay, so 3. Sorry. I wrote that wrong. So 3/22. Okay, cool. That's not too bad. I mean,
it's like 3 months.
Yeah. Well, assuming you're not drowning in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Or at that rate, Persona. Whatever other
definitely
games
P3. P3.
Yeah. Or Tekken, which we'll get to in a little bit, I think. Then we get to the first rapid fire portion of the awards. So for best action game, your winner is Armored Core 6.
I know most of you have voted for that.
I didn't.
Jericho did, I think.
I know Jericho did. Yeah, I think I voted for Hi-Fi Rush in this category.
But I was they just, did. I was just kind I of sad that they just, you know, rushed through them. It's bullshit, dude.
Yeah.
There's a lot of categories they rushed through, and we'll talk about that at the end. Because like the next one is best art direction. The winner is Alan Wake 2. You rush through best art direction.
Ugh. Yeah.
I don't mind you rushing through the last two, which is best VR/AR. Your winner is Resident Evil Village VR. And then best mobile game.
But wait. Yeah, I mean, like, step on me in VR, mommy. Jeez.
Well, how about step on me, Stele, because your best mobile game winner is Honkai Star Rail. Well,
duh. Your fucking Weebs had to ruin it.
What the fuck you want, Hello Kitty?
That's what everybody was cheering at the audience, by the way. If you actually listen closely.
I heard that.
Your Weebs won. Your Weebs won today. Good job.
So then we get our first of two future class segments. This one was the Indian immigrant who went to Canada and then created that cooking game that was nominated indie category. Yeah, that game. The other one I'm going to mention because I don't think I wrote it down here. It was somebody from the East Coast, and then they were featured. We'll come back to that in terms of like the overall impressions of the show, because this segment could have got very political. But some people are upset that it didn't get overtly political and that it should have. So the next trailer in commercial form is for the Outlast Trials. This is like one of those streaming games next to something like Lethal Company that I've seen people play. It's actually coming out in March of 2024.
More than that, though. I mean, this is like one of your like shit your pants kind of horror games.
From what I saw from people playing this game, holy fuck, this thing's scary as hell. And we actually have a release date for this
game. Violence and the blood spray, too. Dear God, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Outlast 1 and 2 were good, but dear God, man. Just seeing this particular Outlast game happen, my God, I don't know what to say. I'm waiting for it though. I am still waiting for Trials.
So this game actually has a release date. It's coming out in March of 2024. So yay, we get an actual release date. Oh, and then we get to this part of the fucking Game Awards. The part that probably I hate the most out of every fucking moment.
We should probably mention that you forgot to do indie game before Outlast came out.
Did I not do indie game?
You skipped over indie game.
Okay, what was that one?
It was
CS Stars was part of the rapid fire award.
Right? Yeah.
It was after the collab thingamajig, which we'll get to in a moment.
Well, to say the least, when we get to the CS Stars for a moment, I'll bring up what I was trying to say.
Okay. Oh, we get a trailer for this game called OD. And guess who's making it? Hideo fucking Kojima. Now, I do want to note, before we get into why I hate this segment so much, this is the first game under Xbox Studios, and this is him taking full advantage of the Azure cloud services that they offer through Microsoft. And I have no idea what this game is, but it's interesting enough, not to mention it's Hideo Kojima. He does create great games like Death Stranding and Metal Gear Solid 2, and I don't know, some other Metal Gear Solid game. And
a lot of Metal Gear Solid games, okay. Yeah. I think the one thing that kind of just appeals to us is the fact that, like, during the trailer when it came out, you get to see the names of the people that are going to be in it, like Sophia Lillis, Hunter Schafer, Udo Kier, and then the fact that Kojima's name was actually in it. It was like, oh my god, Kojima, oh, everybody's hyped about it, you know?
Yeah.
But then the trailer itself was mostly just them talking and then them getting scared of something. That was it.
Yeah.
And then OD logo just popped up. That's it. So there was really a lot of mystery when it comes to this game.
Now, Ryan has a theory about some of the speech that was in that trailer.
Oh, yeah. As I was saying earlier in the show, like, I was making that joke, like, Kojima is still fucking with us 20 years later. And, like, I want to do a side-by-side comparison if we can kind of either work that into the pod or at least just kind of have this one little clip play it. But Kojima is still fucking trolling us. Because if you listen to, like, the characters that are talking with this whole pink, this whole purple dinosaur thing, it's like, it's very, very, and I want to say attuned, if not very similar or on point. But yeah, the whole like flapjack with a little tooting fork thing, it's very similar to what they're going at now. It's like, god damn it, Kojima, you did this 20 years ago. Do we have to do this again? I mean, he's a mastermind with cinematics and everything else, but we all know Kojima being a massive troll. We all know it.
The hungry purple dinosaur ate the kind zingy fox, the jabbering crab, and the mad whale, and started bending and quacking.
I hear it's amazing when the famous purple stuffed worm in Flapjaw Space with the tuning fork does a raw blink on Harry Carey Rock. I need scissors. 61.
What the fuck was that?
God damn it!
Well, massive troll or not, the one thing I know is that he has two motherfuckers who are sucking his dick at all fucking times. Jeff Keighley, and now we can add in Jordan Peele to the mix. Because it's one thing for Kojima to go up there and talk to Jeff Keighley about, you know, the game itself. Here comes Jordan Peele to announce that, yes, I'm also working on OD, and then proceed to suck his dick for fucking 5 minutes about, oh god, I loved your game since Metal Gear Solid 2. You're a visionary, you're an icon. I'm like, dude, can you fucking deep throat that cock any more than you need to? Fucking A.
Oh my god, Jordan, welcome to the Game Awards. What a fun surprise. I know you're a big fan of Hideo's games, right?
A huge fan of Hideo. This man is an icon. And I can say from the first moment I played Metal Gear Solid 2, I knew I was experiencing the work of an artist whose craft just hits different.
That's what I'm talking about! That's why he's the MVP! That's why he's the GOAT!
Yeah.
Like, every single fucking year we have to deal with the Kojima cocksucking portion of the Game Awards. Fucking hell. And it really bothered me because, as we'll get to later on, this was time wasted that you could have put on the winners.
I mean, it was pretty much like, what, a 10-minute segment of just Kojima and, well, just Kojima pretty much presenting OD. And then and then the rest of the time was Jordan Peele just pretty much saying, like, I'm a part of this project. Yeah, I love Kojima. I love his work and everything. I'm glad to be a part of his new game, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah, and it went on and on and on. I'm like, dude, you could just stop there.
Maybe I was going to say, maybe that's the reason why, like, you know, all these presentations that people are just pretty much putting up there, they take their time for some reason versus like a speech that takes 30 seconds long. Sorry.
And that's a big problem we'll get to at the end of the podcast, because why are you allowing 10 minutes for Kojima so that you can do in literally 3 minutes and then not allow somebody like Sam Lake or Neil Newborn to speak when this is a heartfelt moment for them? Their lives have literally changed. They've been affected in so many ways. You drown them out in 30 seconds. That's fucking bullshit. So after that dick sucking portion of the Game Awards, we get our next trailer, which is Jurassic Park Survival. Sure. I mean, I'll give it a shot. It looks interesting. It's survival. On Jurassic Park.
I'm not gonna lie. It actually looks fun. It kind of reflects back to the original Jurassic Park, but it's just like it's you and you trying to survive what happened when the dinosaurs are loose.
Yeah, it looks like that. But
yeah, I want to see how this. Yeah, I want to see how it goes. Yeah, it looks interesting.
After that, we get our next presenter, Zed, and he's presenting Best Audio Design, and your winner is Hi-Fi Rush. We take those.
You guys did. You guys picked well.
Yay!
It deserved it.
It just hella deserved it.
Okay. Yeah.
We didn't deserve after that. Rocket Racing. AKA Fortnite Racing. Why does this exist?
And you think you just have just Lego Fortnite, but no, you end up having Rocket Racing. But you're thinking just Rocket Racing, right? In Rocket League, but it's actually, you know, not soccer. It's actually racing instead. You're doing it in Fortnite instead. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay with that. I'm sure.
I saw the racing portion. As soon as I saw the pinata, I'm like, oh, fuck it. It's goddamn Fortnite. God damn it.
But the thing is, like, I feel like that collaboration was going to happen eventually. They're both epic games.
Whatever, right?
So we're gonna have a collab with either Rocket League cross Fortnite or Fortnite cross Rocket League. I don't know.
After that, we got a trailer for Black Myth Wukong. This game is coming out in August of next year, exactly August 20th. I kind of like the other game, like Rise of Ronin or Setsuna Saga's Hellblade 2. This game also looks good too. I'll definitely give this shot when it comes out. It looks pretty cool. We're going back to more Chinese than Japanese, but there's been like a couple of games that come out that have been based upon Chinese mythology, and there's a lot more to Chinese mythology than we know. So it's great that we're getting these video games that are coming out.
Journey to the Dark Souls. I mean, like with Wukong. I mean, it's based on the story of Journey to the East, but like, or Journey to the West. But yeah, we have enough Souls-esque games. Do we need any more for the year?
We'll talk about one later coming out later on. I think I don't have it here. I don't think I have it here. The Berserker game. The DNF universe.
You're forgetting the when EA tries to make a Metroidvania game.
What game was that one?
How? I'm trying to remember the full title of it.
Oh, right. I didn't put that in there because I didn't fucking care. I'm sorry, dude. Don't cry to me about, watch my game, please. I'm like, dude, just say, hey, I'm from this series. I really want to create a game that showcases my culture. Here it is. You don't have to fucking cry about it, dog. Come on, this is Squid Game the Challenge, okay? You know the fucking cry all the time. So after that, we get the last of kind of like our regular trailers for Warframe. Holy shit, this game's still going?
Yep.
And we're getting a new update coming out the day that this podcast comes out. So yay, if you're a big Warframe fan, it's been gone for 10 years. Yeah, you get a new update. After that, we got a trailer for Super Nintendo World, which is at Universal Studios Hollywood. So if you've been gone yet, you can check that out. Then we got a commercial trailer for Starfield. Ugh. Oh boy. I don't know how to feel about this trailer commercial.
just the fact that Starfield never even got like much nominees in this game awards just feels like, oh, the only way I can represent this game, like this really good game, is to just pretty much put it in a commercial for the game awards.
I felt a little bit of saltiness because it was like, you know, we celebrate all the nominees and developers who worked, you know, for something like that. And it was like, you're acknowledging because like you fucking did, you never, your studio didn't show up at all, except for like one portion, like best RPG, and then like for something that's completely unrelated to Starfield. But it's like, yeah, look at all these 10 out of 10s, 5 out of 5, and it's like, they don't matter. It's like saying, it's like putting our podcast is like a 10 out of 10 for Starfield. I'm like, do we fucking matter? We didn't mention this on the podcast, but I think we talked about it like leaning up. We got a trailer for Ready or Not version 1.0. This is the game that looks like a lot like Rainbow Six Siege or the old SWAT games. And it's coming out actually on the same day as the Warframe update. And it's, again, it's version 1.0. So I think this might be out of early access.
So, yeah, just to give you a quick heads up, it's not a new game. It has been in early access for like the last year.
Yeah.
It has been very well received among the community, not to mention streamers, not to mention. You might have seen a couple of videos where people intentionally kill the hostages. When you pick up a hostage, like, don't talk to me, loser, and then someone gets shot for it. It's like, I don't know. Anyways, bad example. But in any case, the game's coming out of early access, or at least going into the very first iteration of version 1.0. So it is something I will be looking forward to, given that it does have its some things that I'm looking forward to with the update. Real quick, have we covered Lost Records? Lost Records or the first Berserker for DNF?
No, go ahead and go through that because I didn't put that in my notes.
So Lost Records was another trailer that we saw, or another world premiere trailer that we saw at the Game Awards. It's made by the same people who did Life is Strange. I know I very much enjoyed the Life is Strange games as well as any of the other games they've done. So it's another narrative-based game I'm going to be looking forward to going into next year. And then we go into the other trailer, which was DNF's new game that's coming out. I kind of jokingly said on the note on my side notes, it's going to be DNF the first Dark Souls ripoff, because again, it's another Souls-esque game, but this time it's actually in the essence of the storyline of Dungeon Fighters. So it's not an actual beat 'em up. It's not an actual fighting game. But we're getting a proper like action adventure DNF game this time around.
All right. So now that I got out of the way, because that wasn't in my notes. Our next presenter was the developer behind last year's Game for Impact winner, and they announced this year's Game for Impact winner, and it is Tekna, or Titna. How do you how to pronounce this title? I probably wrote it down wrong. Titchna?
Something like that.
Yeah. I think I skipped on this. I know, Ryan, you wanted the furry game.
I wanted Goodbye Volcano High to take it. Unfortunately, it got zeked out.
From what I saw, the game looks cool. All right, sure. And then we get a really nice Final Fantasy VII Rebirth musical performance. Oh boy, the singer was great. The orchestra was great.
Now, mind you, this is never before seen. This is the actual theme for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth when the game releases later this year, or upcoming year.
It already piqued my interest, the fact that like the song is like awesome.
And then it gets ruined.
Yeah.
By Apex Legends.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh no. Well, well, speaking of collabs, there's a collab for you.
What?
I quit.
The fuck quit. Is this?
What? What the fuck? You can put that sound effect there.
So like, this?
No, no, not even JonTron. This deserves a panty. What the fuck?
Oi! What the fuck? Oi! What the fuck?
This game. Sorry. So this game. This collab. Whatever you want to fucking. Whatever the fuck you call it. It's coming out. Atrocity or Abomination. It's coming out January 9th of next year. So Apex Legends and Final Fantasy VII fans, I don't know.
Rejoice?
I don't know. There's some weebs in the Apex community. I don't know.
I mean, it could be just getting fucking annihilated by a Deku Smash or Kamehameha Hot Wave in Fortnite, I guess. I mean,
it's true. It's true. Yeah.
But at least Final Fantasy fans have something to celebrate for, because we're going to get to our next rapid fire portion of the Game Awards. And first up, you have Best Score in Music, and your winner is Final Fantasy 16.
It actually won something this year? What the fuck?
That's what I said. I'm like, wait, you actually won?
Over Legend of Zelda and
Hyper Rush.
Alan Wake. Yeah. Even Hyper Rush.
Yeah. I'm surprised about that too, because I wanted Zelda to win.
After that, your best independent game is not Dave the Diver, but Sea of Stars.
I know we talked about this in the last episode, but we were all thinking Dave the Diver would win just because of the favoritism in it.
Popularity of the game, and it was very well known among the community. I mean, sure, the there was that speculation, or at least that criticism, that it shouldn't be considered an indie game.
I believe Jericho had Sea of Stars winning. So at least no, somebody.
That was Nate. Me and Jericho were for Venba, which unfortunately, even being a, you know, now this is what I was trying to refer to earlier, that the fact of the matter is that Venba was in two categories specifically for indie titles, and it was one of the future classes. It still got shafted, which I think over a lot of the indie games in the category, I think Venba had a more solid, more like intriguing story to actually have it actually take indie game of the year, but oh well, it is what it is.
So next up, we have best community support, and your winner is Baldur's Gate 3.
Not surprised.
Nope.
No.
He's fucking with you.
Wait, what? Oh, okay. Just because it wasn't supposed to be? Oh, you want Cyberpunk. I just realized.
No, I wanted Final Fantasy in this category.
I was really begging on No Man's Sky. It's like 10 years, but whatever.
No, we'll get to No Man's Sky in a little bit. But yeah, this was all over the place, and the winner was Baldur's Gate 3. I'm like, shit, okay. Best fighting game, Street Fighter 6.
Which I'm actually glad it won, but I'm rather surprised over the Mortal Kombat community. It actually beat Mortal Kombat this year. But no, I'll take my victory where it lies. I mean, like, I was very proud of how Street Fighter turned out this year.
Yep. And then your most anticipated game winner is Persona 3 Reload. Yay!
Shut up, Matt.
Yay! Okay, that was not part of the category, isn't it? Really should have.
Yay! Oh, well. It's the right RPG game. Yay! I don't care about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, oh, but actually God. Won. Yay!
Oh my God.
Oh boy, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth takes, but was to the game. That was an obvious. That wasn't a complete sleeper on that one.
Everyone obviously hyped up 7. I mean, it is pretty. I mean, I'm hyped for it. Everybody would be hyped for 7. Although, to be fair, Tekken 8 would have fared out too. I mean, I would love to see how Tekken 8 goes.
By the way, you can omit this category for next year.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's only one game it was going to care about come this time next year. It's a fucking given at this point.
We're going to talk about that later?
We'll talk about it next podcast, because I really want to dive into Grand Theft Auto 6.
True.
And I do want to note really quick, we get no mention of GTA 6 at the Game Awards, which is actually very shocking. Like, I thought they would even do like a replay of the trailer that was released, well, technically last Friday?
Out in 2025, baby.
Last
GTA's trailer came out on the 4th. It was technically supposed to release on the 5th on my 5th. Birthday, which was Tuesday.
Yeah, but it got leaked a day early. Or that was last Friday.
Nope, it was this past Monday.
Monday. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Because my birthday was this past Tuesday.
Oh shit. Okay. So yeah, we'll talk about GTA 6. I really want to dive into it because there's a lot of we could talk about. Not to mention the game comes out in 2025. We're gonna have a year and change to talk about this game from Rockstar. So we'll move on and then we'll get to our next trailer, which is for Honkai Star Rail. Okay, you kind of show off what you did for this year. And then I think they showed off like a new character. Don't know, don't care. I stopped playing Honkai Star Rail a long time ago. After that, we get a pair.
Bones actually gets the release date.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in just a second after we talk about the fact that they showed Fortnite again. They showed off Lego Fortnite. They showed off the racing one. They also showed off the Battle Royale. And then there's a music festival happening. With a whole bunch of artists, actually. Yep. Kendrick Lamar is in it. The Weeknd is in it.
Weeknd is in it. Eminem is in it.
LMFAO yeah. is oh, in
no.
it.
Did you actually get all the songs that were going to be listed in that festival, though? There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of good ones, especially Gundam Style. Apparently, that's one of the songs.
I mean, it's only an emote in the game, Nate G.
You would expect the song to be a part of it.
Okay, I have it here. Okay, so here's all the songs. So you have Dirty Little Secret by All American Rejects, Poison by Bell Biv Devo, yeah, Bad Guy by Billie Eilish, Zombie by the Cranberries, Kick the Ocean by Dance, Songs Know What You Did the Dark Light Up by Fall Out Boy, Dog Is Over by Florence and the Machine, Highway Tune by Venegrad Fleet, Thunder by Magic Dragons, I by Kendrick Lamar, Mr. Brightside by The Killer, Suddenly I See by KT Tunstall, Bad Romance by Lady Gaga, Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO, Emo Girl by Machine Gun Kelly, The Search by NF, The Hand That Feeds from Nine Inch Nails, Vampire from Olivia Rodrigo, Counter Stars from One Republic, Gundam Style by Psy, as you mentioned, Nate, Go With The Flow by Queens of the Stone Age, Cradles by Subhuman, and then Blinding Lights, The Hills, Save Your Tears, and Take My Breath from The Weeknd, Buddy Holly from Weezer, and Nothing's All Right by Witch King, and the rest is just Epic Games originals.
I think you missed out Seven Nation Army by White Stripes. Yeah, that's also in the list.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Seven Nation Army. Either way, I mean, these are actually pretty good songs to put up for a festival.
Okay. It's not on my list here. Yeah. But okay. Sure. That sounds cool.
Yep.
But yeah, okay, great. Great. I still fucking don't care about Fortnite.
Oh my God. Who the hell cares?
You are the fucking problem.
Well, hey, to be fair, Ryan, you play it too, okay? I'm just going to say. I am not the only problem if Ryan is also part of it too.
Ryan playing Fortnite and not voting for best community support or best ongoing. That's different.
Okay, it was a long shot. It would be funny if it actually won.
Yes, and thank God it did because I don't owe you anything. Fucking fan fucking tastic. Ryan brought up Skull and Bones. It's the Ubisoft Power game that has been kind of like in like beta or closed beta. We're actually getting released
for the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's been more dead than Cyberpunk was for the last 10 years. But it's now coming out February 16th of next year. So yay! This upcoming trailer, I am stoked for. Even though we have no idea what the fuck's gonna be, we're getting a new Blade. By Bethesda and Arkane Studios.
Oh yeah, when I first saw the fact that like the trailer was pretty much like, oh, so Blade is just getting a haircut, and I didn't realize until the logo came out that it's gonna be a Marvel Blade game. Yeah. That hyped me up, to be fair.
So I think we were all thinking this is going to be Dishonored, Deathloop, Marvel.
I mean, it is made by Arkane, so
yeah.
I mean, that is
to be and I'm okay with that. You know, what I'm not okay with Anthony Mackie presenting best ongoing game.
When I first saw that Anthony Mackie was there, I was like, "Oh God, oh Captain, my Captain!" Just because he's now Captain America. So
I'm sorry, Mr. Oh Captain, my Captain. You're not Keanu Reeves from 4 years ago when you're presenting for Cyberpunk 2077. You also don't have a sad meme, which, by the way, if you play. The new update for Phantom Liberty, they recreate the sad Keanu Reeves meme in the new subway system.
Oh my God.
Yes, it's so great. But going back to Anthony Mackie, you are not Keanu Reeves. If you want to do it just for like 30 seconds, that's great. 2, 3, 4 minutes. Okay, now you're just killing my vibe here. Again, time that could have been used for like the winner of best ongoing game, which is Cyberpunk 2077. There we go. Yay. The correct.
Yeah, don't forget that he also did announce Twisted Metal Season 2.
I don't give a fuck about that. Cyberpunk 2077 won best ongoing. And yes,
they even got greenlit for a second.
Yeah. And yes, I understand. Some people are upset because a lot of people feel like this game does not deserve the award because they're essentially are saying fixing a broken game for 3 years equals this award.
I'm sorry that they can't read. They didn't read the description of what this award was for.
Not to mention, even if you get rid of the controversy, the DLC for this game is fucking amazing. Just on that alone, and the updates they did is fucking fantastic. So, next up, we get our next set of trailers. The first one is for a game called Last Sentinel. This is from, I forgot the studio name, but they did like GTA 5. They did the old school Need for Speed games I remember as a kid. I think it was like they said Most Wanted was on there. It looked interesting. It was enough for me to note it here in my notes. Any thoughts, guys, on Last Sentinel?
It said it was made from Lightspeed Studios and Lightspeed LA.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
Yeah, so there's that. But it looks interesting. I like the fact that this one, it's crazy because like the person in a motorcycle just comes in and starts like shooting people down or shooting like androids down.
Yeah.
And like I said, it looks pretty badass. So I don't know how this game would go, but I'm interested in it.
Yeah. The next trailer we have is for Zenless Zone Zero. This is the new MiHoYoverse game, which do we really need another MiHoYoverse game? Do we need to continue domination?
Okay. I'm not gonna lie. MiHoYoverse, what are you cooking? Like, I don't care about Genshin. Honkai Star Rail, not really that interested either. But what is this shooter that you just brought up? It's interesting. I am intrigued.
You know what? I'm sorry, I forgot something. We got to go all the way back to the very beginning of the pre-show. They also did show...
Wow, you forgot about Brothers Remake.
Huh?
You forgot about Brothers Remake at the beginning of the show, too.
No, I forgot about Enfield Arknights.
That's right. Oh.
So there's a new Arknights game coming out called Enfield, and it's supposed to be kind of like... It kind of feels like Arknights meets Death Stranding, in a way, with the action of Arknights. And... I'll put it in the show notes. I'll see if I can get the sign up for the open beta that they're doing for this game. But I played Arknights when it came out on day one on the English side. Unfortunately, I stopped playing it a while back, but I'm very interested to see the continuation of the Arknights universe in Enfield.
Yeah, it says here it's coming to PS5. So yeah.
And PC, more importantly.
All right.
Yep. Ryan, you say something about me missing the Brothers Remake?
Yeah, the Brothers, that was like the first thing they announced when the show started was the Brothers Remake from the guy that's always like very popular, the Game Awards that's been there for like the last like 4 years after doing Takes Two.
Oh yeah, It Takes Two guy. Oh yeah, I wasn't really paying attention until we got to the family award. Sorry. And then the last game we got in this trailer portion was Mecha Break. It's a new mecha game. Sure. Looks cool enough.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was an official Gundam game when I first saw that.
With what money? After they said, what, $100 million on that Metaverse game?
I don't know. I just felt like, oh, cool, mech fighting. And the way that the gameplay kind of looks, it does feel like a mecha game. It felt like a Gundam game, okay?
Nate, if you really, really want to play Gundam, like, kind of mecha, like, battle kind of style, you can play either Gundam Evolution or Gundam Battle Operations 2. There you go. You're all set. It's playable on PC.
Okay. Good to know.
So after that, we got some more commercials. This one is for Chromebook Plus and GeForce Now. And the way this commercial goes is they get a bunch of people sitting down, like streamers and gamers, and they start playing Cyberpunk 2077 on this PC that looks like a real setup. And it looks crazy. They like it. And they ask...
I bet you never guess what's inside this PC.
Yeah, it's like, what is it, a 4090? And it's like, no, it's a Chromebook Plus. And I'm like, really? Really? I wrote in my notes, not pictured... input lag.
Wait. You're telling me that Chromebook may... Oh, wait. This is a Chromebook PC?
It's a laptop.
It's a Chromebook laptop.
It's a plus. So now they're going into gaming with the Chromebooks. Interesting.
There are gaming Chromebooks out there.
Are they that good though? I don't think so.
No.
That's what I was saying.
I mean, the problem is that they mistake it for a 4090. There is no way you're mistaking a GeForce Now game for a 4090, especially with the, you know, like with the input lag that most cloud games have. There is no way. If anything, playing a 4090 on GeForce Now is like playing like a 4070. That's what I've heard. But yeah, very, very, very misleading. Let's put it that way. And then the next commercial we get is for Warhammer Space Marine 2. It's coming out September 9th of next year. So if you've been a Warhammer 40K person, you've been waiting for Space Marine 2, it's almost there. We're almost to September.
I feel bad because it was supposed to come out like this month and then it got pushed all the way for Kin.
Oh, it got pushed back? Oh, that sucks.
It got pushed to the third quarter of next year.
Ooh.
Okay. So that's the reason why we're getting that September date on the screen now.
And then we get another musical performance. I wrote here something, something, Asgard, something, something, Alan Wake 2, fuck this dinner break.
I mean, Gods of Asgard, is very nostalgic because if you play the Alan Wake games, you know they're a very notorious band within the Alan Wake universe. Specifically, at the end of Alan Wake 1, they actually do show up and play. So it was nostalgic to me at the very least. I mean, it was good to see them actually perform.
Yeah.
Leading into what came after the fact.
Yeah. After that, we get a trailer for GTFO, The Final Chapter. This game was announced at the Game Awards in 2017. So we're going to see the end of GTFO. At the same time, we're going to get a new futuristic heist shooter called Den of Wolves by the same people behind GTFO. And I'm like, okay, sure, you have my attention. Nice. Yeah.
Mm.
After that, we get an extended look at the new Fallout live action series coming to Amazon Prime on April of next year. And then they've rolled out a bunch of people that are going to be in it. Most notable that I've noticed was somebody named Walter Goggins. If any of you have watched Fat Man, it was a 2020 film, stars Mel Gibson. Hear me out though, even though I say Mel Gibson. Basically, the premise of this movie is Mel Gibson plays Santa Claus, and this kid has such a hatred for Santa Claus that he hires a hitman played by Walter Goggins. So Walter Goggins is going to hunt down and kill Santa Claus. And it's a great psychological movie. A lot of violence, a lot of gore if you're that type of thing. But Walter Goggins, I got turned on to him during that movie. And I'm glad that he's going to be in the new Fallout series. And they were all there to present. Oh, wait. Before we get to that. Hey, there's our boss, Todd Howard. Shot of Todd just being hella pissed off.
I love that. I love that. Actually, that was pretty cool.
I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, Todd, you are piss as hell right now because you're only nominated for one category with one game, and you're only here because you need the support for the Fallout franchise.
Well, not only that, Xbox has you there too.
Oh, Xbox. And then they're all there to present Best Adaptation, which the winner is The Last of Us.
Yeah, I love Patreon.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised about it. I mean, The Last of Us definitely did a great adaptation when it came to when it's kind of basing off the video game itself. I love the show. It was just great to see it. Yeah, it's well deserved.
So season 2 is coming soon.
Yes.
Yeah, they did confirm that they are currently filming or they're working on it. So, yay!
Woohoo!
After that, we got one of the trailers or commercials for a game called Fae Farm. And it's... I joke that it's my game of the year for 2020. Wait.
That's not Fae Farm.
It's called Palaeta? What? This is Palia. Not Fae Farm?
Palia.
Palia?
No, it's not.
Oh. Shit.
It's supposed to be some sort of like farming. It's supposed to be some sort of farming sim as well. And it's, so it's gonna be on
not Fae Farm. Okay.
No.
All right. Don't care.
Let's move on. But it's gonna be on the Switch. It's gonna be on the Switch soon. I think it's like out now, I believe.
Don't care. It's not Fae Farm.
Oh my god!
Trust me, it's gonna come to Fae Farm and Persona 3 Reload for Game of the Year. Watch. next up, we have the people behind No Man's Sky, which I've been alluding to this whole entire podcast. That game got introduced at VGX in 2013. This is how far they have come for the Game Awards and for No Man's Sky. And there was a trailer they show later on, which is like essentially the evolution of No Man's Sky. And it's like, again, yeah, people want to shit on it for being the cyberpunk before cyberpunk. But look, they worked their asses off to make the game as is. And now they have a new game coming out called Light No Fire. And I'm like, could you have waited another year to show off this game? Because you showed it off 10 years to the day that you showed off No Man's Sky. Now it's going to take another fucking 10 years for the game to be good.
Here's the thing, though. Like, when No Man's Sky came out as the trailer, everybody was just hyped. Everyone was just, like, wanted to talk about the game, etc.
Yeah.
This time around, when he saw Light No Fire, there was not really much hype for it compared to what they did with No Man's Sky.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the developers of No Man's Sky and you're making this game called Light No Fire, I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll check it out when it comes out.
I mean, it's the thing is that the game is pretty vague. I mean, you're pretty much riding around like a bird, and then at the end, you see that symbol.
It's another world building game, but it's not like the one you're in space. You're actually building an entire Earth, so to speak.
So it's not in space.
Spice.
That's the Matthew McConaughey game. Spice. So now we're gonna get to the last of the rapid fire awards, and you'll kind of see what I'm.
Wait. You skipped Loki for one, and then you also skipped best narrative.
Best narrative. When was best narrative?
Yes, when Simi Lu came out.
Alan Wake 2 won narrative after their performance.
Oh, fuck. How did I skip that? Oh, fuck. I might have missed that. But that's when Sam Lake went up, and he was basically kind of talking about how, like, you know, his impact in this game. Then they dread his ass out after 30 seconds. So you've now drowned out Neil Newborn and Sam Lake. I'm like, bruh, come on, really? But go ahead. I said I missed something else.
You also missed our boy Matt Mercer.
Oh, yeah, that's Loki, right.
Loki
2. And is this where we also get the Sim and Lou portion of the Game Awards for new RTS?
For his new game.
For Stormgate, yes. Frostgiant needs additional pylons.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what that game needs? Less time on the stage.
I mean, first off, we were able to see Simi Lu, which is great. And then the first thing that comes up is like, what happened to your leg? Because you literally had a freaking cast right around his leg. But I mean, he kept it real. He said, like, I hurt myself playing basketball, which is, I guess, true. My leg!
But did he have to go on for longer than he had?
Also, the other thing, too, is that he said he was.
I grew up playing all these well known Blizzard games, World of Warcraft, Diablo, but mostly importantly, I was a kid. I was just like any other Asian kid in California playing StarCraft.
And I think what he ever said is like, yeah, I'm in the game, guys. That's me. I voiced him. And I'm like, okay, cool, bro.
That's me. Cool story, bro.
Cool story.
I know he presented something.
No, though. He didn't. He presented his game. That's it.
No? Did he do an award too?
No, I would have noted it here. Don't think I really missed was best narrative for Alan Wake 2.
Hmm.
There is one more award we have to give out. But wait a minute. We have to get first through our last rapid fire game awards. And it's a travesty that these categories are like in the rapid fire portion. Your winner for best action / adventure game is Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Like, really? A game that people loved and, you know, its prequel won Game of the Year back in 2017, and you're gonna shoe it into like a rapid fire category?
It wasn't Meanwhile, a rapid fire. They took an award for it.
Did they?
It did.
I think so. Yeah. That was it. I think that was it. I don't know if it was from Simi.
Oh, fuck. This is how bad my notes are. This is how bad I wasn't paying attention to. Fucking A.
Nay, fucked up!
You know, it might have been. Yeah, you're right, because the real rapid fire begins, and I'll talk about when we get there. But congratulations, Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. You won an award. Unlike a certain Spider-Man game.
Eight nominations. Actually, no, seven nominations, and did one nothing all night.
That is surprising.
Insomniac Studios.
I mean, if anything, the big losers of the night, just by nominations alone, was Spider-Man, Resident Evil 4. That didn't really win anything.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
At least Mario won some awards. Party Mario Animals.
Party Animals didn't win anything.
Yeah, Party Animals didn't win anything.
Yeah, that was one.
Mario won one.
Yeah.
Liza P didn't win anything. That's unfortunate.
That's right. Liza P didn't win anything. And that was right, a good game.
But then again, we'll get to the last category. There's a reason why it didn't win. But out of the six nominees, because we thought, okay, so we know that one. Legend of Zelda, it won a category. Spider-Man didn't win anything. Resident Evil 4 didn't win anything. Mario won something. And then the last game, what was the last game that was nominated? Not the winner. We know who the winners.
Are we referring to best action game?
No. Best overall game of the year. We know who won. No.
There's Legend of Zelda. Legend of Zelda, Spider-Man, Super Mario Wonder.
Resident Evil 4.
Alan Wake.
There we go. Alan Wake 2. Yeah, that won a couple awards. So, out of the nominees for Game of the Year that won other categories, yeah, your big losers is Spider-Man and Resident Evil 4. Just purely on the amount of nominations, because at least something like, Alan Wake 2, Legend of Zelda, Hi-Fi Rush, we gave that some wins. Final Fantasy 16 won an award, Street Fighter won an award, Mario won an award. So yeah, now we're gonna get to the actual last rapid fire portion of the Game Awards, and you'll see why I'm doing this out of order. The best sim/strategy is Pikmin 4.
For the upset.
That was a surprise. That was a huge surprise.
Matt had to go and say that last week.
What? That, wouldn't he be surprised if Pikmin 4 wins?
Over the other games? Like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Pikmin 4 takes it over these guys. And what do you know? It beat Advance Wars. Endgame. It beat Fire Emblem.
Exactly. How did it? Oh my god! Did they not like care about like engage? It was a good game. I liked it. Pikmin 4, I guess. Nonetheless, Nintendo won something. So there you go.
Yep. And then for best sports/racing, your winner is Forza Motorsport.
It was destined to win.
Yeah, I mean, people are still gonna complain the condition of the game, but for what it was, it's good enough to win best racing/sports over, F123 and in the Crew Motor Fest and some of the other racing
Hot
games.
Hot Wheels.
Again, did you hear the crowd like when they said Hot Wheels Unleashed 2? If it was gonna win, that would be hilarious.
Yeah. And then for best RPG, best multiplayer, and the Player's Choice Award, your winner is
Baldur's Gate 3.
Here it comes.
They said Baldur's Sweep 3, because literally they took those last three categories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is that I did it out of order because it went best RPG, sim strategy, racing, multiplayer, Player's Choice. So it's like, oh man. So at that point, when you hear Baldur's Gate 3 like back to back, I'm like, oh shit. Now begins the dominance.
Three times. Baldur's Gate. Yep. Baldur's Sweet 3. There we go.
Now, the last award they came out, it was like, oh, maybe there's a chance of an upset. But we'll get to that in just a second, because first, we have to present something that was leaked earlier that day. Guilty Gear Strive is getting FL Valentine back into the game. She's returning from Exord. She's ditched her wedding dress for a rocker outfit. She still wants to love you. And she's out as we record. So people are already starting to play her. And you know, Ryan and I, we love her designs, you know, from the extra days, and now she's in Strive.
I mean, literally, she takes the stage, but then there was something else that just completely came out of nowhere, like right at the end of the trailer, if you weren't paying attention.
Yes.
We're going to be taken for a ride, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so we're getting a 3v3 mode in 2024.
So we're going straight for Marvelous Capcom, sort of. But now I'm with Guilty
like,
Gear.
Is it like 3v3 at the same time, all in one screen?
Yep.
And so did they say whether or not it's like a tag system?
By the looks of it, it looks like a tag system.
Because it, for one thing, it'd be like a 3v3 like we see for Street Fighter. It could be a 3v3 tag fighter. Oh, if it's a tag fighter, that's a fucking different game.
That's like Marvel's Capcom.
Yeah, like Marvel's Capcom. And then our last couple of trailers, because we're almost done with the show, we get a trailer for the DLC for Final Fantasy 16, Echoes of the Fallen, which is out by time of recording, and then The Rising Tide, which comes out in 2024, which means we're getting DLC for a game that's not even a year old in a Final Fantasy game. The final category of the night prior to the big one was Best Game Direction, and your winner is Alan Wake 2. Uh-oh. SpaghettiOs. Baldur's Gate 3 didn't win here. Uh-oh. Could it be Upset Central come two trailers from now?
Only way to find out.
Yeah, but so far, okay, congratulations, Sam Lake and the devs behind Alan Wake 2. You definitely deserved your awards. Sorry you got shot after 30 seconds.
Now that I think about it, then you asked the question, can it be Upset for the next two trailers? Only way to find out, but that's just a theory. A game theory! Thanks for not watching.
Come on.
Unless you care about this next upcoming game called The Finals. Now, if you've seen it on, like, example, Twitch, it's another arena shooter, very twitchy. It's like more akin to like a game show than like, let's say, like a PUBG or like a Warzone. Like, the full version of this game is actually coming out today. And what makes The Finals great is that it's created by ex-DICE devs, so aka like the old school Battlefield games that we came to know and love, because there is a lot of destruction in The Finals, kind of like verticality and horizontal destruction. I'm like, oh, cool. But Ryan, you were telling me that you don't really like this game or how it looks or feels.
Haven't we done this before? I swear to fucking God we've done this before, because this kind of like story or this kind of playstyle and like arena shooter highly, highly reminds me of Hyperscape from Ubisoft. And mind you, that game got canned, like, not even a year into its release. I can't help but feel that, like, this is, like, this highly reminds me of that same game or that same kind of playstyle and premise. I mean, I'm going to give the game a try, but honestly, I don't see it. If it is anything like Hyperscape and it actually plays like Hyperscape, I don't have much faith for it.
And then the final trailer of the night.
Let it speak for itself.
Let it speak for itself. Oh God, is this the Elden Ring DLC that we all been waiting for?
It's kind of funny because like my coworker, when I was working with him yesterday, was like, oh, this is totally Elden Ring DLC that's coming up. It's like, nope, look at it. I'm looking at it. It's like, oh, this is Monster Hunter. He's like, no, it's not. It can't be Monster Hunter. It's they just brought out Rise. There's no way they're doing another Monster Hunter. Next, you know, title card, please.
Well, even before that, you hear the theme song for Monster Hunter. Like, oh, it's a Monster Hunter game. And it's subtitled Wilds. So we're getting Monster Hunter Wilds in 2025.
Oh boy.
Great.
Not gonna lie, that's a pretty early announcement for a big game like Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Like, continuing on with the series, but why 2 years later? I'm like, now you would announce it now? I would imagine, I mean, like, give me some more stuff besides.
Think about it. We just got the expansion for Rise, not only on the Switch, but finally got it on the Xbox, on PC, on PS4 and 5. I mean, it's kind of funny because right before Rise, we just got out of Worlds and then Worlds Iceborne. Now we're going into a whole new game, not even like 2 years later, or not even a year and a half later at this point. Like, do we have another Monster Hunter game, really?
I don't know what's going on with the Monster Hunter franchise, but I mean, they have those games on the consoles. They have the mobile game, which is apparently popular.
I forgot to note that here. Monster Hunter Now was heavily advertised during the Game Awards. Which again, it's like, okay, yep. Sure, give me another fucking AR to play. Oh, Pokemon Go, but with Monster Hunter. Ooh.
Pretty much. Thank you, Niantic, for pretty much putting another franchise in Pokemon in your system.
I think a major problem with Monster Hunter Wild is that a while back when they came out with that, with the new expansions for the other one, they said, hey, we have some big announcement coming for the 20th anniversary of Monster Hunter. Stay tuned. This is your announcement. A game that's coming out not next year, but the year after.
But do we, to the producer, you have to have some more news for it, right? You definitely have something to say about it, right? It's like, oh, we'll have more information on it. Stay tuned, closer to the summer of this upcoming year, which we all know that's probably going to be Summer Games Fest, so we're going to hear something about that.
But again, it's 2025. It's like GTA 6. It says 2025, but that could be anything. That could be December 2025. That could be July 2025. That could be January 2025. We just don't know. And then we get to what we've all been waiting for, the Video Game Awards Orchestra playing the melody of all the nominees for Game of the Year. And guess who makes a return? Flute Man.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about him.
He was going hard this year.
Or we're going to refer to him now, Flute King, because this dude is a fucking beast.
Okay, so it's weird because you get to see the whole orchestra itself, and then out of nowhere, this guy is just going outraging with his
diving monstrous, and jamming out all over the place.
With just so many monstrous flutes that he has, the flute, and then some other big instrument, plus an instrument that goes around him. Okay, I get it. You're hype. You're a hype guy. We get it, man.
Yeah. So, he's playing the regular flute. And then when we get to Marvel Spider-Man 2, that portion of the melody, he gets up and pulls out, well, he doesn't really pull out, he picks up is what is called a contrabass flute. It's that big-ass flute that he's playing, and he's going off on that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, son, what the fuck is that? And this dude is
an oboe or something.
He's a fucking beast. And apparently this gentleman, and I forget his name, but I'll put it in the show notes. He has a really great backstory because, he has been known in that scene because he has worked with famous composers and artists. He's worked with the likes of Hans Zimmer and Paul McCartney.
So, oh, shit. Those are popular names.
Yeah. Ooh. So this dude, he knows, and now he's popular through the Game Awards. And so we get to our Game of the Year.
And the Game of the Year is Baldur's Gate 3.
Yay, Baldur's Gate. Yay.
Yay. We saw it coming.
Yeah. And then Homeboy, one of the producers for Baldur's Gate 3, showed up in a suit of armor.
I love that. I'm not gonna lie. I had a feeling that he knew it was going. He was going to win or something. Like, I'm prepared. Let me wear my suit. I'm in, boys.
Dude, and he knew it because, dude, if you don't think you're gonna win, you're not gonna wear that suit of armor unless you know.
Of course.
So he knew it. And then this is the part when it kind of gets a little tad sour because you gotta remember we're still only giving them 30 seconds to speak. And now, because it's Game of the Year, maybe you let up a little bit. Maybe you give them a minute because it's the big award. No, you still give 30 seconds. Because one of the things they talk about in their acceptance speech is that some people passed away while making Baldur's Gate 3. And I don't know if it was due to COVID or through something else, but yeah, some people, unfortunately did not get to see their work come to fruition because they passed away. And meanwhile, here comes the music. Like, no, come on. Come on. And I think they might have heard it and then piped it back down. Because there's a tweet out there by Jeff Keighley. He says, at the beginning of the award show, we were really tight on our timing for the presenters, for the winners. But as we got through the night, we kind of loosened it up. And I think they might have prematurely did it, not knowing that it was going to be that deep, but also because it's Game of the Year. Hey, end of the show. We'll see you next year for our 20th anniversary of the Game Awards. Bye now. That's it?
Yep. To be fair, that ending was really quick. I mean, I would love it if they actually get some more time to actually speak. And I was thinking, everybody else's was short. maybe you guys will probably take a minute or two just to pretty much like have everybody speak. But no, the whole 30 seconds was just, I think, the guy in the suit and then some other guys speaking. That's it. So they didn't really have everybody actually speaking.
Everyone's in tears at this fucking point because they've won. And it's just like how big the sacrifices and everything that they're talking about, the people passing, they're all like in tears. And the fact is to hear the music come on when everyone's just crying at this point, like, what the fuck, guys?
No, exactly. I understand the music was supposed to like cut them off, but at the same time, I'm like, bro, give them a chance to actually speak. Come on, dude.
Let them talk.
But it's also game of the year. This is, if you're going to be very loose on this rule, it's the people who deserve it the most because they are the ones who were crowned the cream of the crop when it comes to the video game world. Yeah, you may want to give 30 mm-hmm. seconds to just Neil Newborn or Sam Lake, but dude, give them at least a minute 30, you know, for Studio Larian. Yeah, but that's the end of the show. I wrote my final note is thank God for no interruptions.
Yeah, thank goodness, actually, because we were kind of scared that something will pop up out of nowhere and just, you know, ruin this whole entire show.
Now, I
mean, it happened the last 2 years.
Yeah. Now, if you notice at the very beginning of the broadcast and throughout the broadcast, the front row was roped off and they had security guards sitting at the aisles.
Well, I thought they were standing in front of the stage, too.
They were standing in front of the stage, too.
Yeah, I was noticing like when, you know, when Jeff Keighley was pretty much in the background talking, like I look at the stage and yes, there's like people like standing, like, I mean, like security guards literally standing right in front of the stage, making sure nobody just like hops out of nowhere, which is nice, which is good.
Yeah. And also too, within this leaked memo about your acceptance speech, it says here, no, only designated speakers with the official TGA credential pins will be allowed on stage.
So those pins weren't just there for decorations. That was just like your official, oh, hey, you're allowed up here. If not, you're otherwise, in. Like the pins are pretty much like, oh, they see the pin, you're allowed on stage. If not, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So, for example, Rabbi Bill Clinton kid was actually at the Game Awards. He actually had a seat in the audience.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Oh, no.
He tweeted that he was there, and then I think he tweeted on later that night that he got a citation from Peacock Theater for trespassing.
Oh my god, he did it again.
Oh, yeah. So he got there illegally.
Yeah, he might have gone there illegally.
No ticket in.
but also, too, given the security and the measures they were taking, that kid was never going to get on stage.
Oh, no.
Oh, not by any means of the word.
Probably. He probably would have been like, you know, beaten down by the security guards that was already in front of them, you know? Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I talked about this at some point in the podcast, but I'll bring it up again. We talked about it previously that there was a call for the Future Classic Mid to acknowledge the war in Gaza and call for a ceasefire. Well, that didn't happen. Nobody on stage, you know, who accepted an award didn't go off on their script and say, free Palestine, I stand with Israel, defund the police, stop global warming, corporations must die, Jeff Bezos, give up your yacht, you know, some political statement. and yes, I'm kind of glad that we didn't get, you know, it didn't get overly political and it didn't get like completely like a downer. I think the only downer moments was like, yes, the people who are accepting the awards because, it, you know, it's hard, blood, sweat and tears to create these games and to be acknowledged. And there are two Forbes articles, as much as I don't want to like reference Forbes, sometimes they do have good points. There's one that says the Game Awards refused to address the labor crisis facing the industry. And that's another point that I think everyone forgot about. Once this was presented to me, I'm like, oh, that also got very political from a business standpoint by saying, look at all the people that have been laid off and look at all the executives that are making hella more money while we're suffering and dev crunch and all that. And I'm surprised we didn't go that way either. I mean, you're talking about more than 9,000 people have been laid off over the last year, and no mention. Just as much as we had no mention of Palestine or Israel, or police brutality or global warming.
If anything, political stuff really needs to just like be set aside, especially for an award show like this. But yeah, I mean, that's actually an interesting topic to actually bring up labor. Like, the workforce is done. Like, there's a lot of people that got laid off and things of that nature. I mean, please help. Like, I mean, it's something for like businesses to actually say, hey, there are a lot of talented people out there. Please hire them for your company. You know, I mean, that would be something to actually say. I mean, I would be okay with that compared to like anything political.
Yeah. But and again, like, and this is where we have our conundrum, which is like, you know, speak your piece if you want to, but at the same time, it's like, I'm just here just to watch a video game award ceremony. Like, I want to see who's going to win Game of the Year. I want to see what the next games that are coming out. So it's kind of like this, this conundrum that we go through. But I think the other one that kind of caught my eye from Forbes was the Game Awards was a full-on parody of itself this year. And this is where, after kind of like watching kind of like highlights and, you know, pulling up clips that we're going to use for the podcast and some of the stuff that I'm using that, you know, Ryan's provided for me. And I'm going through this and I'm like, man, these Game Awards kind of sucked.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, what, do you want something dramatic to come out? Like another, like, what is it, the Bill Clinton person to come up and actually like ruin the show?
No, what I think
it's a decent show. I mean, for me, if I'm going to judge like the Game Awards itself, it's pretty decent. Like, you do have the games that get presented. It does kind of suck considering the fact that like the presentation, there was way more presentations of video games compared to the awards itself. Like, it'd be great to actually have like at least like a presenter come out for each of the categories. But I just feel like this year's Game Awards was just more focused on just those trailers. Like, we're ready for next year. What are the next year's games or the year after next year's games? And they're going to pretty much debut it and give you hype and all.
And that's the biggest problem, is there's too much reliance on like set pieces or, you know, focus on certain trailers. As I alluded to, you could cut out the Anthony Mackie segment. You could cut out the Sim and Lou segment. You could cut out the Muppet segment. You could definitely cut out Hideo Kojima cocksucking session. You could cut that out easily. You could cut out some of these other ones.
That was like 15 minutes worth of, like 15 minutes worth of just like pointless banter. Yeah. It's like, okay, cool. You're awesome. It's an awesome game. But we don't need to actually praise Kojima all the time, you know?
Yeah. And you can cut that out, and then in return, you can get another award or two up there, the ones that actually matter, like best soundtrack or best action adventure. For like best, like some of these awards that kind of got pushed to the wayside. It was like, okay, if you push to the wayside, all right, that's fine. You know, we can't get to everybody. If not, we're literally here for like 4 hours, and we're now we're being the Oscars. It's funny how we got from fuck the Oscars to literally being the Oscars.
Oh man, I don't know if that's a good level to be in.
No, it kind of like this point that this article makes from Forbes, because you gotta remember, E3 is dead, and we now have Summer's Game Fest and technically, to a certain extent, Gamescom.
I mean, here's my thing that I'm kind of looking at right now. Jeff Keighley is actually trying to, I mean, I want to say kill E3 or anything like that, but he's really like, what are you saying?
He killed E3. It's now Summer's Game Fest.
Yeah, I get it. No, I mean, to say the least, like, yeah, Summer Game Fest is pretty much E3 now, but like the way that things have been going when it comes to like presentations of video games and things like that, like how the big three companies have been presenting their shows now when it comes to presenting their big games. So like Xbox has their presentations, PlayStation has their State of Play, Nintendo has their Directs. But then when it comes to like the big game announcements that they would love to hype up for, that's where Summer Games Fest come in. This is where the the Game Awards come in. And, you know, I just feel like this way that Jeff Keighley is trying to run things when it comes to actually presenting games is working. Like, you pretty much killed off E3 with your Summer Games Fest, but it's pretty much just what, straight up just trailers and things like that, that all companies pretty much put themselves in. Lo and behold, you end up like having a great show in the end. So,
but some people are wanting maybe like a combination of like like what happens at like Summer's Game Fest, like call it like Winter's Game Fest. And then attached to it is the Video Game Awards, and it's all just awards. There's no trailers, there's no segments. Yeah, it's all just presenting the best.
I was going to say, maybe like have it on a separate show. Like, you know, you can have your presentation of video games here and there, but like put it as a different show so that at least they can, you know, they can honor the anime. Oh, sorry, they can honor the Game Awards with like in a separate show, maybe for like an hour or two. And literally just have a presentation, have like celebrities, have streamers come up, pretty much present the people who make those games with their awards and all. I mean, that would be great. And then like have a presentation, have like Jeff Keighley come out, have a presentation with a lot of like fans out in the audience, pretty much present all the games that are going to be coming out in the near future, to say.
Well, now you're just going back to kind of like old school VGA, or TGA. VJ was the Spike TV era, which I think the Game Awards, sorry, the Forbes article about the parody, they harken back to the VGX, because VGX was that one where it was on a sound stage, that was like the really awkward one.
Right.
Ryan, you've been kind of quiet on this, like. How are you feeling about this particular Game Awards as we talk about everything that transpired?
I mean, I'm hype about the games. I mean, at the very least, that's just kind of like the general study of the overall appeal of it. I mean, for the most part, I mean, sure, not too many games I was like too hyped about outside of like some like the ones I mentioned earlier, but I mean, I'm not gonna say it wasn't the greatest Game Awards of all time. I mean, we've had better years, I'll say that much, but I guess it was all right.
I mean, it's all right. Like,
it was still a okay show, like 5 out of 10. It's not like 2017 was a great show. I mean, 2019 was a great show. I mean, except for the one that where The Last of Us 2 won. Fuck that game.
Yeah, forget that one.
But there was some great Game Awards. I felt like it was kind of a rubber band response to what happened with Rabbi Bill Clinton and Christopher Judge. Because those two things happened.
Yeah.
It was kind of like this pendulum swing, but pendulum swing way too hard to the other side. Where now we're restricting people and we have all of this security, which kind of maybe killed off the mood just a little tad bit. I mean, I was great. That's like, okay, cool, the security. But for other people, they see like,
I mean, we don't want to have another dramatic show, which, I mean, it's great that they stepped up and said, hey, we don't want to have like another Rabbi Bill Clinton come up again. You know, any of those like things that will just ruin, that will completely ruin the show. Like for example, like what happened when when somebody with paintball just pretty much splattered everywhere on a game console, you know, that kind of thing. You don't want that to happen either. So
yeah, but at the same time, you could have something like fuck the Oscars, and that wasn't a rush job. That was somebody like a creator going off script and saying, fuck the Oscars. The closest we ever got to that this year was Christopher Judge, because that whole COD comment was off script.
Yeah, that's saying something. And of course, like the COD players end up like getting that toxic and stuff like that. But that's just more of the community of that's just more on the community of Call of Duty. No matter what, they did whatever they can to make a good show, and I said it was pretty decent. It's not bad.
Yeah,
watchable. With all the trailers coming out, watchable with all the presenters. I have to say, though, some presenters did end up trying to tack it on a little bit. I mean, Timothy Chalamet at least pretty much was out there and said, hey, this is the game of the year. They did the orchestra presentation, and after that, he pretty much said the game of the year. You know, do something like that. It's easy. Instead of dragging on Anthony Mackie and instead of dragging on Anthony Mackie and Simi Liu just to pretty much talk about random stuff.
Yeah, and again, that's where I ultimately land, because like, okay, we went one way, now we went another way. Now we kind of have to go back towards the middle, and I think Jeff Keighley is smart enough to kind of realize that we don't need to see Hideo Kojima getting his suck dick constantly for long periods of time at the Game Awards. It's great that Kojima shows up every year. I'm excited when Kojima shows up because like, are we going to see something brand new or are we going to see Death Stranding 2? And then we get like this 15-minute dick writing session. It's like, okay, this could have been a three-minute segment. Could have been great.
I mean, the celebrities, I understand, like, you have your star stature right there, like, at the Game Awards, but we already know you from all the shows and movies that you've done. You don't need to, you know, continue to drag on. I mean, like, the Oscars, for example, like, everybody's just pretty much in their suits and dresses, and all they do is just pretty much read off the script. Like, literally, the prompter right there for them to just read, and that's it, and present the award, that's all. You don't need to just drag on with other things.
Yeah, and I think the big problem is that Jeff Keighley was kind of relying too much on star power. Again, Matthew McConaughey, Simon Liu, Jordan Peele, Anthony Mackie, Walter Goggins, technically.
And Timothy Chalamet, yeah.
So it's like, okay. I mean, like I said, I think the show be better. I mean, it won't be perfect, but I would like it if you did cut all of those segments off, made them shorter, made them more precise, and then maybe open up another one or two categories to be featured in the Game Awards. Yeah, you can, not everything's going to be read through. I understand that. If we get rid of the rapid fire session, then it's kind of like, okay, then we're just going to put its own
I mean, the thing for like the rapid fire sessions would be mostly towards like community things. Like, I would say rapid fire stuff would go for like best esports game, best esports team, and things like that. Because
I just kind of wish they keep it like that. But like, honestly, when it comes like to the big awards, not like, oh, best RPG, it gets like
that needs to at least have like a presentation, like best RPG, best action, best racing game, you know, best adaptation, you know, those kind of things. I would love it if that actually gets presented in full time, not like 5 seconds.
And the biggest problem is, so really quick, I'm gonna run through all the categories that they did the rapid fire portions for. Action game, art direction, AR, VR, mobile game, best score in music, independent game, community support, fighting game, most anticipated, best RPG, sim strategy, sports racing, multiplayer, player's choice. The problem is that all of those actually deserve a place in the main show instead of being on the rapid fire portion. You can cut out like player's choice, maybe best multiplayer, most anticipated, mobile game, VR, AR. That could be like your one rapid fire. But especially for like best art direction, that was a contested category this year. Best action game, really contested category this year. Best RPG, maybe, yeah. But then again, you're just going to, you know, give it more to Baldur's Gate 3. Give them more of a victory lap.
This is where I said, like, we need a separate show. Because like we could do the whole presentations, like you could do Winterfest, make it called Winterfest, and do all the presentations like you did for Summerfest, and then the next day make it the Game Awards, and then you can have like little bit of trailers here and there that you didn't release over at Winterfest, but really focus on those awards that you could present, because like art direction, art direction, best director, adaptation, those kind of presentations can like be in there, like they could be in pretty hit shows. I wouldn't say like learn from the Oscars, but the Oscars knows how to present. I'm not gonna lie to you. Every category that they've talked about, yes, there's no rapid fire ever in Oscars.
Yeah, and also too, there's like overlights on ads too as well. Whether or not it's ads,
some of the ads are mostly trailers too.
Yeah, for ads for games that you care for or stuff that you really don't care about, like. God, there was a part of the Game Awards where they did like the Spear Las Vegas. It was for the Samsung, like the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, Clash of Titans.
I'm like, why? Why is this here? We could have put more time in the newborn and Sam Lake than this piece of shit.
It's the biggest piece of dog shit that I have ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why are you here? Like, okay, I get it.
We had advertisers for Chromebook. I mean, yeah, there's that, I mean, too. But then again, advertisers, it is their way of saying, hey, we paid you money. Here, present our presentation to your Game Awards.
It's like the most watched game event of the year, and it's been going up and up since it started airing online on Twitch since like 2014. And it's gained popularity. And yeah, you had, you know, people were tuning in because they want to see Baldur's Gate 3 win, or they wanted to see an upset in Alan Wake 2 or Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. But here you are sitting watching an ad for the truth, which is I understand why you're there, because you're giving an impression to 15 to 25, 35 year olds about the dangers of vaping. I get that. But it's weird. Like I always see those ads during like any gaming award. It's so weird. Like I don't see anywhere else, but I see it during the Game Awards.
I don't feel like you need to do that either. It's more like that's just pretty much a PSA for every. I think pretty much anybody who watches. I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure those kind of like, you know, think vape PSA things that pop up during the Game Awards can also be aired up like in every channel like that you're watching right now. So like, I'll watch a show and then the ad comes up and it'll be that particular one. I'm like, Think doesn't actually need to be in the Game Awards to do it. I mean, it's not really necessary.
Personally, my problem with it, and this is just up me off a tangent, is if they're going after vaping with nicotine now, they're gonna try to go after vaping with weed or THC or CBD. And we're trying to eliminate, you know, secondhand smoke and all that, but now they might be going at the marijuana market. But that's just my feelings. That's completely my opinion only. Not represent anybody else, unless somehow you feel like that. But the point of the matter is yes, the TGAs were okay. Could they have done a lot better? Definitely fucking yes. Does Jeff Keighley need to sit down and figure out what can I do to showcase the winners and the developers more than just going to celebrities and Hideo Kojima every single fucking year? Yeah, there's a place for that. Like I said, I don't mind Hideo Kojima being at the show. It's that you're sitting there for 15 minutes sucking his dick. Hey, at least he didn't come because we didn't get OD or Death Stranding 2.
We probably could have got a trailer for it, but we didn't.
Yeah, I thought we were for one of the games. I thought it was Death Stranding 2, and then it was for another game. Like, oh, okay, this is another game. I thought it was like that Korean game from Nexus. Which, by the way, Nexon. And if you notice, there were a lot of games this year that were part of that global conglomerate known as Nexon. I'm like, oh, here come the Koreans. And yeah, speaking of Korea, have you guys heard what happened with Twitch in Korea?
Oh yeah, they're disbanding it. So now they're referring them to other like channels or these other ways services. To watch it.
Yeah, because big thing right now out of Korea is what's been happening in the U.S. but hasn't happened yet is net neutrality. And basically, the Korean ISPs are favoring more domestic services than international. And, you know, for example, YouTube and Netflix, they can pay for that tariff traffic that is being imposed by the South Korean ISPs. But Twitch can't. They can't afford it. It's like 100 times more than what like a domestic product pays for. So as a result, Twitch is leaving Korea next year. You know, I'm surprised that we didn't even get that political by saying, you know, bring back Twitch Korea. Because I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Because there are a lot of people who did not learn about the shutdown until literally the day it was announced. I'm like, oh, fuck, that is really unfortunate. But, yeah, I mean, that's it for 2022 in gaming. Any final thoughts?
It was definitely a good year for our gaming this year. There was a lot of great games that came out. I mean, Baldur's Gate kind of being that last minute sweep the leg and take everything kind of like thing, but like I thoroughly enjoyed what came out this year. I can't wait to see what happens next year. I mean, given the state of things currently, I don't really have too much on the docket outside of Tekken, Final Fantasy, and Persona, but we'll see what happens.
You know what? There's a vast majority of like huge games coming out for the next year. It's good to see these kind of trailers pop up in the Game Awards and stuff, but for 2023, no doubt. I mean, we've had some exciting times with the games. Super Mario Bros. I mean, like a lot of it, Nintendo with Super Mario Brothers, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. And then, of course, when it comes to like video game adaptations, I think this is the year where like video games start to actually get some real representation when it comes to media, for example. I mean, Last of Us, the TV series, the Gran Turismo 7 movie, the Super Mario Brothers movie. I mean, it's pretty much trending upwards. Like, this is the start of like just One Piece. This is just the start of video games. Yeah, One Piece. Yeah, anime. Whatever. this is the start of pretty much like video games trying to like get into media itself. So like when you hear the fact that Fallout is going to have a TV series, who knows what happens? What will happen next? Another video game franchise might have their own TV show or movie come out. And if anything, it's starting to trend up to actually becoming like good compared to like movies before or TV shows before that featured video games, you know? If anything, it is looking positive for video games when it comes to either playing video games or watching video games or, you know, watching comedians that are related to video games. If anything, it's looking great and 2024 looks to have a bright future ahead.
Yeah, and we'll dig more into gaming in 2025 when we get to our...
2025?
Wow. Well, 2024, maybe 2025.
Wow. Skip the year.
Yeah, let's just skip a year. Let's get the GTA 6 already. Fuck it. Dude, oh, we're going to win another 9 months? Aw, shit.
Fine, we'll get ready for Monster Hunter Wilds then.
Monster Hunter Wilds at that point.
Shit. Here we go again.
Oh, God. Who's going to win that between GTA 6, Monster Hunter Wilds, and Big Walk? Place your bets for the 2025 Game Awards.
Don't forget Final Fantasy.
But no, next week we'll talk about... Sorry. So next week, as we alluded to, we're going to do some catch up on some things we've been kind of missing. We'll also kind of deep dive a little bit more into Grand Theft Auto 6, some of the things that we've been hearing, some of the questions I may have moving forward. And then we'll do our end of the year podcast. We'll talk about the year in review, what happened, you know, the podcast and what we did with our lives, and then kind of like look forward to next year and kind of make our predictions of what we're going to see for trending in 2024, which, God, do I have to say this for a third year in a row for cosplay?
Oh, Lord.
Demon Slayer?
No. Than that.
Genshin. No, Genshin and Star Rail. Yeah, Honkai Star Rail.
Yeah.
Any Holoverse game, okay?
Yeah. God, it'd be... Look, I'd be happy if I see any Star Rail cosplay at Saki Anime, because you know it's going to be all fucking Genshin Impact.
Oh,
More so. And we might get the Saki Anime news next week as well.
I was going to say ALA too, because we got some folks that are with ALA too.
Maybe I'll change it around and maybe we might do our convention preview right then and there. We'll see. I'll see how the week plays out. Anyways, okay. Thank you for sticking around for our Game Awards 2023 recap. If you like what you heard, you can follow us on a podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And to play us out, we have us the Ink Spot.
But the cry, and nobody's crying but me. Friends all over, know I'm trying to forget about how much I care. for you. It's all over, but the dreaming, poor little dreams that keep trying to come true. It's all over, but the cry, and I can't get over crying over you. It's all over, but the cry,
and nobody's crying but me.
Friends all over, no, I'm trying
to forget about how much I care for you.
It's all over, but the dreaming, poor little dreams that keep trying to come true. It's all over, but the crying,
and I can't.